नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयत् नस्तप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, entitled The Killing of the Demon Putana, text number 11, etc. Sa Muncha Munchalam Iti Prabhashini Nispidyamana Kila Nishpidyamana Kila Jiva Marmani Vibhitya Netre Charanao Bhujao Muhuhu Pasvina Gatra Kshipati Roda Ha Samuncha Muncha Lamiti Prabhasini
Samuncha Muncha Lamiti Prabhasini
Samuncha Muncha Lamiti Prabhasini
Samuncha Muncha Lamiti Prabhasini
Nishpidyamana Kila Jiva Mamani
Nishpidyamana Kila Jiva Mamani
Nishpidyamana Anakil Jiva Mamani Vivritya Netre Charanam Bhujamuhu Vivitra Netre Charanam Bhujamuhu
Vivitra Netre Charanam Bhujamuhu
Pasvinna Gatra Chipati Rurodaha
Pasvinna Gatra Chipati Rurodaha
Pasvinna Gatra Chipati Rurodaha
Pasvinna Gatra Chipati Rurodaha
She, or Putana Rakshasi, Muncha, give up. Muncha, give up. Alam, suck my breast no longer. Iti, thus. Prabhashini, crying. Nishpidyamana, being pressed severely. Akhila Jiva Marmani, in every center of her vitality. Vivritya, opening wide. Netre, her two eyes. Charanao, two legs. Bhujao, two hands. Muhuhu, again and again. Prasvinagatra, with her body perspiring. Kshipati, throwing. Rurodha, cried severely. Ha, indeed. Translation. Unbearably pressed in every vital point, the demon Putana began to cry, "Please leave me, leave me. Suck my breast no longer." Perspiring, her eyes wide open, and her arms and legs flailing, she cried very loudly again and again. This is flailing. And vitality in Kish. Does everybody know what vitality is? Vita, some Latin word. Purport. The Rakshasi was severely punished by Krishna. She threw her arms and legs about, and Krishna also began to kick her with his legs to punish her properly for her mischievous activities. So there are two ways to see Krishna. One way is to practice sadhana bhakti, which becomes raga bhakti, which results in prema bhakti. The other way is to become such a big demon that Krishna comes and kills you. And Putana had that distinction. Therefore, when she did meet Krishna, Krishna punished her. Just like Krishna punished Kaliya, Nag, the snake. Krishna punished Kaliya, but his lotus feet danced on Kaliya's head. So Kaliya began to vomit blood and was near death, but by having Krishna's feet on his head, he was greatly blessed and realized his true identity. So in the same way here, Putana had performed so many abominable activities, especially killing of innocent children and adults in Vrindavan and surrounding areas. You know, if Putana had gone to New York and killed a few people, it wouldn't have mattered so much, because they're also very sinful. But she somehow or other had the great misfortune, or fortune, according to how you see it, to kill Brijavasis, or those in the Braja Mandal area, the greater area of Braj. So therefore, she was severely punished. And, of course, one of the most sensitive places in the body, there are different sensitive areas of the body, but one of the more sensitive areas are the teats, or the teats, these are called teats. Just try pinching them a little bit, male or female. They're very sensitive. So Putana had big, beautiful breasts and big, opulent teats. And she stuck her breast within Krishna's mouth, and then Krishna bit her on the teeth. And although he took her milk and treated her like his mother, but she also felt excruciating pain, like sometimes you may have had the experience of being in an area where there are red ants, and somehow you get them all over your body or on part of your body, and they're pinching you, and you try to get rid of them, but you can't because they're so small, you know, and they're going on pinching, and you're trying to get rid of them, but you can't. And it's very, very frustrating. So Putana, she couldn't get Krishna off her breast. He was just like vice grip, you know, a vice grip is something you want to hammer something into shape, so you put it in a vice and squeeze it, and then you hit it with a hammer or whatever. So Krishna's teeth were on her teeth. Like a vice grip, she couldn't get him off, and he was biting and biting. And therefore, it was a painful experience. Sometimes we see that painful experiences are very, very good for us, because we are very deeply attached to the material body. It is not superficial at all. The attachment that we have is, or has been there since a long, long time. The attachment is more in the mentality that Ishwaroham, I'm the enjoyer. And we take various bodies, and we're equally attached to every body because the mentality is there. I will enjoy in this body. The dog is thinking, I will enjoy in this body. The dog is intent, very determined to enjoy in that body. He's not thinking that he'd like to be in some other body. He's attached to that dog's body and enjoying. But after being frustrated in a dog's body, he goes to another body. I don't know what's the next in line. Maybe he becomes a horse or something, and tries to enjoy in that body. The mentality of enjoying leads to strong attachment. This dhyayato, vishayan pungsa, while meditating on enjoying the objects of the senses, the vishaya, sangas teshu pajayate, one becomes very strongly attached. Sangat sanjayate kama, then when develops strong lust, kama, krodo vijayate, one becomes angry, and ultimately one becomes totally bewildered, pravrittim cha nirvrittim cha. He doesn't know what to do, how to get free from the suffering. He's got strong attachment, and he can't get rid of it, and he doesn't know what to do, how to get out of his predicament. That is the avarana, or the bewildering potency of maya, covering potency. We are intelligent, no doubt, but that intelligence is stolen by illusion. Maya apahrita jnana. Our knowledge is stolen by illusion. So, Putana, although suffering, although being tortured, she couldn't understand her position. She was being punished for her sinful activities. text number 12. As Putin has screamed loudly and forcefully, the earth with its mountains and outer space with its planets trembled. The lower planets and all directions vibrated, and people fell down, fearing that thunderbolts were falling upon them. Purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that in this verse the word rasa refers to the planetary systems below the earth, such as rasa tala, atha atala, vitala, sutala, and talatala. Each shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam has volumes and volumes of meaning. They are like sutras or words which have links to other words and other meanings. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found so many different 64 different meanings for the, what do you call that verse, the Atmarama verse. Atmaramas cha munayo nirgrantha urukrame. So anyway, he found so many meanings. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said you could take one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and lecture on that same verse for months together. And he did that. Sometimes he would lecture for 30 days or more on one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's so much meaning there, and we require to look at these verses from different angles of vision, but you will find that there is one thread going through all the verses. Just like Sutre Maniganaiva, Krishna says that everything rests upon me like pearls strung on a thread or like a necklace. So on a necklace you may have many different stones, different colored stones, different sized stones, different types of stones, precious stones, gems. But there's a thread that goes through them all that is common to all of them. So we require the commentary of devotees like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to understand the pastimes of Krishna Lila. Once I sat with Gopi Puranadana, who actually help translate this. Of course, this is part one, but later on the Bhagavatam is completed by Hridayananda Goswami and Gopi Puranadana, and a great deal of it was Gopi Puranadana, who is a very wonderful Sanskrit scholar. So we read from the commentaries of Sridhar Swami. Then we read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the same verse. Then we read Jiva Goswami's commentary on the same verse. And then we read Srila Prabhupada's commentary. So each one of them emphasized a little bit different aspect of the verse. And Srila Prabhupada gave what the previous acharyas gave, plus a contextual explanation according to the time and audience that he was preaching to. So it's good, it's very good to understand Krishna Lila in this way, because ultimately we will come to that position of endeavoring to enter into Krishna Lila. Raga Bhakti means anartha nivritti syat. When one is completely free from all anarthas and one has got nishta and ruchi, one has got strong faith, one is free from all kama, and one has got a taste, a real taste. In other words, one cannot stop chanting and hearing about Krishna 24 hours a day. Then he becomes qualified to start meditating on one of the residents of Vrindavan and to follow in their footsteps and to eventually to enter into Krishna Lila. So therefore it is necessary to study. Throughout our studies, we study these demons, we study their relationship. There is Boma, Vrindavan, there's Nitya Lila and Naimittika Lila. Nitya Lila means the eternal pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan. And Naimittika means the temporary pastimes that Krishna manifests in Boma Vrindavan, or the Vrindavan which is just below the surface of a place 90 miles south of Delhi. You can't go to Vrindavan just by getting on a train. You have to have the eyes to see Vrindavan, otherwise you'll see, among other things, goats being slaughtered, people defecating on the side of roads, all kinds of things that might shake the faith of a novice, a new person. But just below the surface, if your eyes are trained, you can see Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, every time I went to Vrindavan, I was always thinking that at any moment Krishna would jump out of the bushes. So you have to have that vision that you are anticipating Krishna at every moment. So in that Vrindavan, Krishna manifests his lila with different demons. In Goloka, there are no demons existing. Goloka Vrindavan, there is only the anticipation that they might come. So the residents have a sense of being protected by Krishna, and there is a sense, there's nothing like, we're eternal now, we can't be killed or anything, we're okay, you know, let's relax, enjoy. No, they have anticipation that the demons could come, but of course the demons never come because that's not Goloka Vrindavan. But they do come to the residents of Vrindavan. So this Vraja Bhakti is a very special thing. And these demons can be seen as representing different anarthas that we may have. And this has been written upon extensively by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by Vishwanath Chakravarti, and various other acharyas in our line, but especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his Chaitanya Shikshamrita and Krishna Samhita and by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also. I'll just read something here just to give you an idea of the importance of going a little deeper into these pastimes. The demons in Vrindavan Leela, Krishna vanquishes our material desires. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Sri Chaitanya Sikshamrita, Sri Krishna's activities are two distinct types, namely Nitya and Naimitika, eternal and occasional. In Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's Nitya Leela, or eternal pastimes, are conducted through 8 periods of the day. That's called Ashtakaliya Leela. 8, Ashta, and Kala means time. So in 8 time segments in the day, it's called Ashtakaliya Leela. And they are constantly in motion, so Krishna's pastimes are going on constantly in Goloka Vrindavan. But in Boma Vrindavan, this Ashtakaliya Leela is mixed with the Naimitika Leela, or occasional pastimes. Some occasional pastimes include Krishna's leaving Vrindavan to live in Mathura and Dwarka, his returning to Braja, his killing of various demons, and so forth. These pastimes are very useful for an aspiring devotee who is bound within the material world. The Naimitika Leela, or occasional pastimes of leaving Braja, actually exist in Goloka Vrindavan, but only in a conspicuously absent manner. They are truly manifest only in the material world. Practicing devotees or sadhakas understand these occasional pastimes to be like negatively tinted reflections of the eternal pastimes. And such sincere devotees hope that by the influence of understanding the purpose of Krishna's performance of different occasional pastimes, their own various anarthas or unwanted material contaminations will be destroyed. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also talks about destroying, killing these demons, just as Krishna killed them. So they represent various anarthas, and he talks about how we can kill them also in our lives. That is the way of advancing in devotional service. Not that we... Of course, one way is to have the strong faith, firm faith to chant Hare Krishna. But the firm faith to chant Hare Krishna will lead one to a consciousness where he knows that he has to clean his house. He has to clean his heart. The more we chant Hare Krishna, the more we will be able to understand just how polluted our heart is. We want Krishna to come and sit there. We want Krishna to come and give us his association. But he will sit on the lotus of the heart when it is clean. Rupa Goswami talks in the Bhakti Rasamrita Rasamrita Sindhu, Adau Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivritti Syat Tato Nishta Ruchistata Atha Saktis Tato Bhavas Tata Premad Yudanchati Sadhaka Namayam Premna Pradu Bhave Bhavet Kramaha. And Prabhupada gives the following translation. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This one will bring to the stage of time to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. So that is one of the reasons why we have to keep the atmosphere of the temple pure. Because people who are aspiring to get some relief from the material world, people who are suffering, and Krishna is guiding them to come to the temple to associate with pure devotees. But if they come to the temple and there are all sorts of karma, mishra, bhaktas wandering around in pretending to be devotees, all sorts of kali chelas who look tilak nake, galai mala, they wear kanti mala on the neck, they have tilak on the nose, or whatever, but they're actually cheaters, then people will get discouraged. So when people come here, they expect to get sadhu sangha, not bewildering sangha, not contradictory sangha. What they should come here and get a very simple and clear explanation of Srila Prabhupada's mission and the path back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada wanted everything to be so simple. Let there be one mantra, Maha Mantra. Let there be one scripture, Bhagavad Gita. Let there be one deity, Radha Krishna. We don't want to confuse people by making things full of choices and contradictory ideas, etc. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, attains steadiness in self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love of God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. The specific stages are shraddha, faith, sadhu sangha, association with devotees, bhajana kriya, trying to seriously take up the process of devotional service, anartha nivritti, becoming free of all unwanted things, nishtha, steadiness in Krishna consciousness, ruchi, a deep taste for Krishna consciousness, asakti, attachment for Krishna, bhava, ecstasy, the first rays of the sun of love for Krishna, it's called bhava, and prema, pure love for Krishna. To attain Braja Bhakti or pure devotional service in Sri Vrindavan Dham is no cheap thing. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada says, persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord as the Vrishnis and Vrindavan denizens are called Raganuga devotees, which means that they are trying to attain to the perfection of those devotees. These Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulative principles of devotional service very strictly. Now, I've heard people quote this without much brain. It doesn't mean that they follow the residents of Vrindavan and they start having illicit sex, eating meat, and taking intoxication. Those are major regulative principles. There are many other regulative principles of devotional service, and a raga bhakta might not strictly adhere to deity worship. There were different examples. Bansidas Babaji, he was a great soul, one of the Manjaris or Sakis of Krishna. But his activities, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada would not allow any of his disciples to go and visit him, because he appeared to be, and he was, an avaduta. Where is Avaduta these days? Is he in Maribor? Huh? He's out practicing Raga Bhakti? Okay. Anyway, and he wouldn't allow him to visit, allow people to visit him, because his activities were not exactly of the nature of sadhana bhakti. These Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulated principles of devotional service very strictly, but by spontaneous nature they become attracted to some of the eternal devotees, such as Nanda or Yashoda, and they try to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. There is a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raganuga. I remember there was a wave of devotees in America, especially on the West Coast, California, who thought that they would like to be Kshatriyas rather than Brahmanas. Now, their main ambition was to find some way to justify their intoxicating habits and their sexual exploits. And, well, Kshatriyas have more than one wife, Prabhu. And so they would have different girlfriends and even take intoxication. And I don't think anybody really ate meat, but I'm sure if it came to that, they would justify it by saying that they were Kshatriyas. The cheating propensity is always there. Therefore, we require guidance from a bona fide teacher, bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to get Krishna's instruction, because the spiritual master should be a transparent media by which we hear from Krishna. He's not giving you his opinion, but he's trying to simply allow Krishna to speak through him. So that is a very wonderful process. But by spontaneous nature they become attracted. There's a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raganuga. We must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Vraja is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. In following the regulative principles of devotional service, there is a stage called anartha nivritti, which means disappearance of all material contamination. Sometimes someone is found imitating such devotional love, but factually he is not freed from anarthas or unwanted habits. It has been seen that such a so-called devotee proclaims himself a follower of Nanda, Yashoda, or the gopis, while at the same time his abominable attraction for mundane sex life is visible. Such a manifestation of divine love is mere imitation and has no value. When one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, there will be found no trace of any mundane contamination in his character. So, many of you have been here over the course of the last many years, and we have seen different devotees get distracted, get bewildered by various bogus philosophies and various personalities cheating them. They go to India, they go to Vrindavan. Why don't they go to Mayapur? No, they go to Vrindavan, and they end up in Radhakund or somewhere. And then they come back here proclaiming that they have now been initiated by so-and-so, and they're practicing Raganuga Bhakti, or someone comes here and talks about Raganuga and they get carried away. But we see that they have none of the good qualities which they formerly had when they were acting under the guidance of ISKCON and the devotees in ISKCON. We do not know how lucky we are to have this temple and to have an opportunity to worship the deities and to be able to regulate our lives, because we are preparing ourselves for the real stage of Raganuga Bhakti. But if you go off on your own, you ask any of the devotees who are living far away from a temple, you watch them if you like, you will see that invariably they have difficulties. They don't have a chance for association, and these so-called advanced Raganuga Bhaktis, they don't want association, and very soon they have no morning program, they're cheating on their diet, and forget sex. That's a regular occurrence. They're supposed to be Raganuga Bhakti, Bhaktas, better than all others, possessing higher knowledge, coming from Radhakund. But let's look at their actual lives. Let's not talk some philosophy, bada bada badur, bada bada pet, blanka jabdiye, murakura het, you know, big, big monkey, big, big belly, Lanka jumping, melancholy. They make big show of being a big, big devotee, talk big, big things, but in the end they can't even chant Hare Krishna every day. They don't have taste. So, we should see this and understand what Srila Prabhupada has given us, everything, and what our acharyas are giving us. We're so fortunate. Keep your eyes open if you want to reach the goal. Therefore, in the beginning, everyone should strictly follow the regulative principles of devotional service according to the injunctions of scriptures and the spiritual master. Only after the stage of liberation from material contamination can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the devotees in Vrindavan. Once one has passed through the stage of anartha nirvritti, this way, when anartha nirvritti is finished, perfect, then he becomes firmly stuck up in Krishna consciousness. Tato nishta, tato ruchi, then taste. The taste is so nice that one cannot give up Krishna consciousness. One cannot give up chanting of Hare Krishna. It increases in the transcendental taste. After taste, there is asakti. Krishna is speaking from that stage. Here, maya asakta, mana aparta. Asakti, or attachment. When there is attachment of Krishna, that is almost the final stage of your perfectional life. So we're talking about putana, and perhaps tomorrow we'll... Of course, putana's just about to... she's on the way to being dead. And we'll finish that, and then we'll go over some of the other demons in Vrindavan and how they represent different anarthas. As we said earlier, putana represents the bogus guru teaching bogus philosophies, cheating person, and she also represents the materialistic mind or the guru from within, giving you various wrong instructions that lead you to spiritual destruction. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes? Repeat your question. If there are no demons in the spiritual world, then how do the residents of the spiritual world get a sense of anticipation of demons coming? Is that what you're saying? Demons and death. Why do they fear death? Or why do they fear? Because the biggest fear is death? No, they have experience, but simultaneously they feel totally protected by Krishna. So it's something like subliminal. Sometimes you think of something that you didn't realize was there in your mind, and you realize that your activities were influenced by those thoughts in the back of your head, but because they're so remote, you dismiss them immediately as just, you know, how did I think of that? Whatever. So the residents of Vrindavan or Goloka Vrindavan are always thinking about service to Krishna, and part of Krishna Lila, I mean, they're not thinking about their experience in the material world, they're thinking about their service to Krishna, and part of that Lila is Krishna's desire to fight with demons. So somehow word has leaked out. You know, someone gave it to the newspapers or something. It's that Krishna had pastimes in the material world with demons. As far as I know, the residents of Goloka Vrindavan do not meditate. They're not philosophers. They don't meditate on the material world and start thinking of the verses in Bhagavad Gita and, you know, rationalize, well, we're here because, you know, we went through sadhana bhakti and, you know, we came to Raghu and now we're here. They're not thinking like that. They're just thinking that if I don't feed Krishna, you know, he'll be very upset. They're absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. How the perception of demons impacts on them, I don't know. I'd have to get input from other sources. It's amazing. People have different ideas. And when you get a variety of devotees who are contributing their own realizations and their own knowledge of scripture, how that can fit together in a very beautiful puzzle, all the pieces gradually come together. It's good to churn up the nectar. You know, you get a nectar drink and all the fruit and all this good stuff floats to the bottom and you just get a little thin water at the top. You churn it up, you know. Get everything in there. Any other question? Yes, Gargamuni.
I have one question about this. You were speaking about entering Krishna Lila. And then some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples always very strongly they speak about how Srila Prabhupada used to say that he gave everything. So they are saying we will get through all his teaching to this in Krishna pastime. And some, like indirectly, are saying that I don't know, maybe somebody will came and show us, or there will be some other person or something like that.
No, Srila Prabhupada is a very prominent person in all our lives, and he is more prominent than anyone else. He did encourage his senior devotees to go through the works of the Goswamis and other books beyond his books, and to present that knowledge to the assembled members of ISKCON. Try to understand that we are not just the same group of people who've been together for the last 30 years or 40 years and we've all been advancing. No, we get new people all the time. We are people who are here for a few years, people who are here for many years, people who are almost out the door. So our preaching has to be done very carefully. We can't just, you know, tomorrow's lecture will be on Rasalila and what is Jayadev Goswami's Geet Govinda. We'll discuss Geet Govinda tomorrow. Or, you know. And some of you have never even heard of Geet Govinda, what to speak of knowing what's in there. There's all kinds of descriptions of Krishna touching Radharani's breasts and, you know, very intimate things. So maybe some of you would like to give that class. I wouldn't. But there are many of us who are not ready for it. Like trying to have sex with a 3-year-old girl. You know, she's got a vagina of sorts. You know, you might conceive of having sex, but she's not mature. You'll kill her by that. And people who are not free from lust, anger, and greed, they're not ready for this kind of discussion. So the books are there, like Prabhupada presented Krishna book, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, but in summary study form. So we're getting seminars, etc., on these different topics, and those preachers who are studying Prabhupada's books, studying Prabhupada's mood, reading the Goswami literature, they're giving it to us in a palatable form that we can get something from it, be aware of it, and understand that we should carry on with our sadhana. When we reach a stage, just like a person, you don't need to tell someone when they're in love. They automatically feel it, attracted to someone else or to Krishna. It comes, they can feel it. Or when someone's eating, you don't need to tell them, oh, now you're full, Prabhu. I know when I'm full, it's a feeling that comes. So when you are sufficiently purified and you take permission from senior Vaishnavas, then you can start practicing Raganuga Bhakti, and that also will be mostly in your mind. You will continue doing deity worship, you will continue doing Harinam, you will continue whatever service you may be given, college preaching or apple strudel distribution or whatever it is, fire yagyas, you'll continue doing that. But your education will go on in your heart. Who will come to teach you? That I don't know. As our society grows, there may be devotees whose association, even today there are devotees who are very knowledgeable and immersed in this kind of lila. And it may be valuable for all of us to associate with them from time to time so that we can be inspired ourselves. But the most important thing here is to, despite our discussion at this time, do not think that within the next few days or so you're going to become completely purified of all your anarthas. It may take, you know, a little bit longer. You know, devotees hear a lecture and they get all inspired. Ah, I'm going to do raga now. It sounds much better. And we always want the highest thing. Just, you know, give a little bit bigger donations and, you know, let's do raga. Don't worry at all. Nikunja yuno ratikeli siddhyai yaya libir yuktir apekshaniya. The spiritual master is engaged in making wonderful offerings to the Lord. So what are we doing? We're going out. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to save the fallen conditioned souls. So we're making arrangements to bring so many suffering conditioned souls and offering them to Lord Chaitanya. That's raga bhakti. You're already doing raga bhakti. Isn't that nice? You're already on the highest platform, performing, helping Lord Chaitanya in his dance, in his mercy mission. There's a letter directly in this connection from one of my god sisters asking Prabhupada. Rameshwar had made such a statement. Rameshwar was a very inspirational Sankirtan teacher, preacher, guru. So he would be on the Vyasasan, but he would just, you know, he'd read the verse and then he would immediately leave the verse and, you know, describe, you don't know how wonderful it is to distribute Prabhupada's books. And he'd go on for hours about distributing Prabhupada's books. But once he made the statement that Sankirtan book distribution was non-different than Raganuga Bhakti. And so Nandulal, if you look in folio under Nandulal Dasi, she wrote to Prabhupada, said, true. And Prabhupada said, yes, he has said correctly. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.